Hello, and welcome to Presenting, a podcast where we chat about various topics related to role-playing games, typically Paizo products such as Pathfinder and Starfinder, but also others. I'm John Godek, and with me today is Jacob W. Michaels. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, John. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, so I actually met Jacob through the Freelance Forge forums, so it was kind of neat to finally connect on this. So Jacob is a freelance author who has dozens of RPG credits from companies such as Paizo, Legendary Games, Raging Swan Press, Rusted Iron Games, Flying Pincushion Games, Rogue Genius Games, as well as his own gaming company, Swords for Hire Development, with Miko Callio and Mike Wilhelm. He also made it to round three of RPG Superstar twice and has written extensively for Wayfinder. So somebody who has tons and tons and tons of RPG credits. So Jacob, can you tell us a little bit about your path to becoming a writer and starting your own development company?
Sure, I'd love to. I got started with the RPG Superstar contest that Paizo used to run, and I believe No for Direction has reestablished this year, which I'm excited to see. I wish I could remember exactly how I found it, but I remember it was 2011, actually, was the first year I saw it, and I thought, oh, this is such a cool idea. I've been playing, I guess, since the mid-80s, maybe early 80s is my earliest memories of playing. I was in third grade, so I've been playing for years. Expedition to Barrier Creeks, pretty much. I have no idea what that first character was, but I remember finding a laser gun, and that was pretty cool. That was my earliest memory of gaming way back when. And fortunately, my parents were always supportive. So I played it through high school, got away from it a little bit in college. But then after college, fortunately, fell back into it and had been playing again for a long time. So I saw this and I remember thinking, oh, that's so cool. I want to think of something. I'd, you know, over the years kind of made my own homebrew magic items, really basic things, you know, a whistle that if you blew it, created a silence field and things of that nature. And of course, I couldn't think of anything that first year. I had, oh, this crown that made you a two-headed end crown. And I didn't enter, but I followed the contest, you know, really focused, loved following it. And then the next year, fortunately, I came up with an item and I was like, yeah, I'll submit this. This is a neat item. It was my haunting glass and it was a mirror that would capture haunts. This was first edition Pathfinder and capture them and you could basically recreate them. So it was kind of a summon haunt mechanic and use it to help yourself. And I was like, all right, I'll submit this. And I didn't really expect anything to come of it. And then, you know, a month later, this was when judges decided everything later on in the contest, the public community got to vote on everything. It turns out I made the top 32 of Pathfinder, of a Superstar, excuse me. And I went, uh-oh, I don't really know what to do next. This is something I wasn't really expecting. So the next thing was to create an organization in Galarian. And I think we had about a week to do it, maybe even less. So fortunately, I created one that came over well and submitted it and moved on to the next round where it was create a monster, which I had never done before. And unfortunately, it showed and probably wisely, I didn't end up advancing there. I look back still on that. I still read that every once in a while and look at the comments. I was a Sheehy noble. And basically, it was just a sorcerer. I really, you know, one of the comments said I didn't understand monster design, and it was painful to read at the time, but was in fact true. But so that was my start getting involved in that contest, and it was 2 weeks, 3 weeks or so of kind of the most nerve-wracking, but also one of the most enjoyable experiences I've ever had in gaming as I tried to process a lot of information and read up as much as I could, and at the same time create just, you know, with almost unfettered, which was actually the name of my organization. That wasn't an intentional pun. You know, creativity and say, okay, what's, you know, let's push the edges here. What can I do and be memorable and be cool? And So that was the start of it. And after that, it took me a little while to get going. I still didn't really know how to be involved in design. I remember kind of before Superstar, I had looked at the old Dungeons and Dragon magazines that Paizo was responsible for and said, boy, that's neat. And I saw they had Here's How to Contribute, but I still didn't really know what to do. And for that first year or two after that, I'd say I was still really learning. But fortunately, then there were a few other open calls that had been posted, and I got involved in that. And that was really, I think, how I got started. I was really fortunate to do well in an open call from Raging Swan, which is a third-party publisher that's really fantastic. I got to meet Creighton a couple years ago. Creighton Broadhurst is the creative force behind and the owner of Raging Swan. Really great guy. I was in England and made a special trip to meet him. And that's really kind of, I'd say, where I got a lot of my start. I did a lot of my early work for him and still work for him now. And really a great company, great person. Highly recommend their products and, you know, encourage people to buy them if you're interested. I did get into Superstar again in 2014, which was also a lot of fun. I felt a lot more accomplished there. And the second round that year was Monsters. So I developed a monster. This was kind of my bête noire after 2012. And the monster did really well. And I was really pleased with it and felt like, okay, now I know how to do monsters. And eventually also another open call for Monsters for Rusted Iron Games, Russ Brown's third-party publisher. I did well, and that was a bunch of plant monsters, and I got to keep writing for him a number of stuff. And I'm continuing to write for him now. He's doing a second edition Tombstone, which is a kind of Wild West campaign setting that's been a lot of fun to write for as well, in second edition Pathfinder. So from there, it just grew. I found, you know, got other opportunities with various companies as they've come up. I've really enjoyed writing for Wayfinder, and, you know, fortunately I've gotten some work with Paizo as well. And so that's, I guess, how I got started.
So, like, sounds like about a 8 or 9 year journey to get from not doing anything, get into Superstar, and then now dozens and dozens of credits.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, one of the things, and I've said this on various public forums and on Freelance Forge, I think that getting started is really the hardest part. You know, finding someone who's interested, and different people have different approaches. I know some people like to say, okay, here's my idea. I want to bring it to a publisher and go. I tend to be much more open calls. I like someone saying, here's what I'm looking for. Can you do this? And I'll say, sure, you know, yeah, let me tackle that. I tend to prefer that. I've done a few things of my own design. I did one of my early favorites that did really well, was very popular, was a book of troops that I did for Owen Casey Stevens. And I really enjoyed doing that. That was kind of one of my early ideas when I was still feeling my way a little bit with monster design. That was a monster subtype that Paizo had created in one of their adventure paths, their winter-themed adventure path. And I thought, oh, this is really neat. You know, now I can have, you know, they focused on, it was during World War I, as I recall. So they focused on these types of semi-modern troops. And I was like, and they eventually introduced a few others, but I was like, all right, you could make goblins here. You know, have a troop of crazy goblins and kobolds, and ooh, here I can do an undead horde. You know, that's a classic fantasy, dark fantasy trope that, you know, with this subtype is possible to do. So I got to do that. But yeah, definitely it took a while to get started, but kind of once you get your name in with companies, oftentimes if you do work that they like, they'll invite you back. So now I feel like I have a strong stable of people I write for, and I'm taking a break right now for a couple months, maybe 1 month, I guess. I'm getting ready to get started again. I think I have a project coming up, hopefully get started on next week, but yeah, so it's been pretty steady work ever since. I've been fortunate.
Yeah, and you've been really prolific. You know, you've got to write for so many things for so many different publishers. So what's been your secret to getting all these opportunities? I can see getting started, but somehow you had to get seen by all these other companies, you know, in order for them to ask you to continue to write for them.
Yeah, I think it's so two things. So I think once you have the company, once you get that first assignment or project, really making sure that you make it as easy as possible for the developer and for the owner and publisher as you can is really important. I've seen various stories of publishers where the freelancers just don't seem to pay attention or recognize what they're asked. So it's as simple as, you know, if you're asked to do 500 words, do 500 words. You know, I try to get within 2% of that goal. So to me, that's, you know, I'm aiming for 475 to 525 words. If you do 200 words too little or 200 words too much, either of those are a problem. Make sure you hit deadlines. My main career is in newspapers, so I'm very comfortable with deadlines. I live with deadlines every day, but that's a key thing. You know, make sure that you hit that deadline. I try to get my projects in hopefully a few days before deadline at minimum. I think my record is 2 or 3 weeks early. Sometimes I'm still on the deadline, but that's important. Really make sure you know your timing. Follow these style guides. Again, that's something I'm very used to from my journalism career. Little details. There's a passage, exchange on Paizo back in the Superstar Forum days about what dashes to use. Do you use an M dash, an N dash, a hyphen? That's a very minor thing, but it saves a lot of time for your publisher and your developer if you get that right. And those little things will make them decide, oh, I want to work with you. I'm always pleased when I get feedback that, oh, this was really clean. I barely had to do anything. You know, that's what I'm aiming for. I want to give you as clean copy as I can, because you'll remember that as a publisher and say, oh, let's work with Jacob again.
So you mentioned a couple times that your main occupation is a journalist. What do you do in particular?
I'm a content editor. Senior content editor is our title. I'm the basically I'm a copy editor is what I've been doing, or what I was trained at and did for a long time before going into more management. So I would read stories, edit them for style, for content, for grammar, clarity, and then write headlines, cut lines, design news pages. So there's a lot of overlap in ways. I'm familiar with layout, very familiar with the editing process. Those are all things that I've been doing since college. I got involved in journalism in college. Oh, and that's what, 25 years ago now, I guess, almost. I'm very familiar with that.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. So I don't know if you've listened to any of my other interviews here. So I'll point out two things. One, Rob McCreary got started in the industry because of RPG Superstar.
Uh-huh.
And Amanda Hammond got started in the industry coming from journalism.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of overlap there, definitely. And Rob, you know, I remember reading his early stuff. Trust me, I went through every single Superstar post.
Yeah.
I did it a lot of times. I spent a lot of time on that forum. But, you know, journalists, you know, we're very comfortable writing. We're comfortable with a lot of the things that, you know, go into successful RPG design. And Amanda's obviously been very successful at it. I know she just left Paizo, and as the time we're recording this, it went over to Cobalt Press, which is awesome for her. So I think there's a lot of overlap there in terms of what you're looking for with precision, obviously different levels of creativity, but still, even, you know, journalism, the writing itself is writing. And I remember one of my early criticisms actually was the downside for journalism. You know, there you have very short paragraphs. They're often one or two sentences. So that's something I still work to make sure I'm not doing in my game design writing, because I'm very accustomed to, oh, what's that sentence is too long, or that paragraph is too long. So I have to watch that when I do my game design writing.
So you've written for a wide range of RPG supplements. Kind of which type do you prefer most to do?
That's a great question, because I really do enjoy all of it. I think the setting, especially what I've done a lot for Raging Swan, is really just pure flavor. There's very little mechanics, because that's what we know his readers really like. They want to be able to use that in multiple settings. So oftentimes when I write something there, it'll come out in first edition, second edition, fifth edition D&D, and even system neutral. So I'm really trying to avoid rules content there, but that's a lot of fun, because it's just, okay, here's just pure imagination. Let me think, what are some fun plot devices that people could be plugging in? And really love that. And that's a lot of fun to write. But if you had to ask for my one favorite, I think it's monsters. I think because of that first experience where I was so crushed, and I really felt like I really struggled with monsters for a long time and figuring out how to do it. And now that I feel like, okay, I know how to do it, I'm good at it, I really enjoy that. I think it's a nice mix of both the flavor, okay, I want to try to make something that people will say, oh, let me throw this into an adventure, I know what I want to do with this, and the mechanics as well, so that players will say, oh yeah, remember that? That was horrible, and hopefully a good way. So really, I think monsters are probably my, if I had to pick a single favorite thing that was the only thing I could ever do again, monsters.
Did you put in for the more recent RPG Superstar?
I wish. I am not eligible for it.
Otherwise, because you were because of how you placed before. That's right.
Yeah, that was how I placed before, and I happily have too many Paizo credits. But I did. I let out a cry of, why do I have so many credits? Why did I do so well? Because I would absolutely enter again if I couldn't. I think I really found, I understand why it became a little less successful for Paizo in terms of the main goal, which is attracting freelancers, but I really found that sort of contest slash open call, whatever you call it, to be a great way to introduce new people. I think that's what, with the Swords for Hire, that's sort of what we were doing. Miko and I started it, and we invited Mike in eventually. He joined us. We started with a Here Be Monsters contest, which was a monster contest. And we got early on, I think we got dozens, you know, especially the first few years, we would get dozens of entries, which was really exciting. And we would nail it down to the top five, and then people would vote. And we had some prizes. Some prizes there that were fun. And then we did four books that we published called Villain Codex. It was before, I think we had picked our name just before Paizo picked theirs for the Villain Codex. So we were like, all right, let's tweak our name to make sure there's no confusion. So we had the first one was Foes for Fledgling Heroes. And it had 12 kind of full NPCs for chat CR 3-8, as I recall. And they were, you know, it was an open call. I think we did a, maybe one of them per entry. So then we had, we did advanced heroes for kind of mid CR epic heroes. And then the fourth one we did monsters. So we said, all right, pick your favorite bestiary monster and throw on some classes to really make like, oh, here's a surprise. So I had, for that, I designed a dragon cavalier, and I slightly tweaked it, but he could charge, and I think he had a lance, as I recall, and could do some ridiculous damage. It was exciting, and I remember, I don't remember who did it, but someone did an iron golem that I want to say was fighter, and he was really great. And the one kind of trick I love that he did at the end, he had a necklace of fireballs. So he said, hey, if he ever gets in trouble, he just drops the whole thing and creates this explosion that would damage people in melee and heal him. And I thought that was really fun. But part of what we were doing there is we really wanted to give new writers an opportunity. And I was looking back at them recently. I was talking with some folks during PaizoCon, and there was really a lot of early talent got involved in that, who are now kind of regular names. Jen McTeague was involved, and let's see if I can see some of the other names here, because there were just regular names that were definitely involved. Mika, Luis Loza wrote for me. We actually had Luis write several villain codexes for us. Andrew Umphrey, Chris Wasco, I think Nick Wasco was in one of the later ones. So it really, I felt like, was a great opportunity for folks to get involved early on in their careers, and I hope we helped launch some. So Matt Morris, Stephen Stack, and definitely other names that I think people would recognize from game freelancing. So I support RPG Superstar. I hope it does fantastic. I think it's great that, you know, more people will be able to get this, because that's part of, and similar with Wayfinder, getting those first credits out so you can show people, oh, here's something I've done, and hire me and I can do this for you, is really key and critical. And I certainly used Superstar early on to say, here's an example of what I can do. You can see my work. You can see my professionalism in that. You know, in those first years of Superstar, we weren't allowed to say anything. So you'd have people critiquing, and during the voting period, you just had to maintain absolute silence, which is similar to what happens, you know, in a lot of games with your NDAs. You can't say, oh, I worked on this, until it's actually out. So, you know, that's an important facet of freelancing, showing that even that little skill you're able to do.
So what advice do you have for people that are interested in getting into writing besides getting involved in Wayfinder and RPG Superstar?
Sure. I think if you are, especially if you're new to it and say, I don't know how to get started, I think Freelance Forge, which you mentioned early on, is a great, great way to get started there. Let me see. You can certainly Google it, and I can real quickly. It's Freelance Forge, all one word, .boards.net is the forum, the website address. And so there's all sorts of ranges of experience on there. And, you know, people really love helping each other. We do practice challenges. People can get feedback on things they've worked on. We post open calls, you know, with, oh, hey, I saw that so-and-so is looking for writers. If you're interested, here's the URL. So that's kind of a really helpful, because a lot of it may just be finding, oh, where can I get work, you know, that start. So I think, to me, that's one of the hardest things. If you know of publishers that you like, definitely check their websites, see if they're, you know, accepting submissions or write to them. One of the things I think I've learned over the years is that everyone that I've encountered, at least in the freelance design, are A, really good people, but also they're regular people. We all got our starts. If you want to drop someone a note and say, hey, you know, I'm interested in writing a monster. I've done this, this, and this for Wayfinder, or even I've got a blog, so here's what you can see. You know, if you don't have access, you know, if you're waiting for Wayfinder, which now publishes just once a year, used to be twice a year, you know, start a blog, post on the forums. Kind of just get your name out and show, here's what I can do, you know, so then you can point someone to that and say, you know, I've published one monster a week for 3 months, which shows I, you know how to do deadlines. And so, but no one in my experience has ever said, ugh, how dare you write to me? You know, I think we're all excited to see new writers and meet new people. I remember my first thing for Paizo, I wrote after Superstar, was for Owen, Casey Stevens had hired me. And I remember saying, oh, thank you so much. I'm so, you know, appreciative of this opportunity. He was like, this is my job. We want to find new writers. And even just Logan Bonner just recently posted on Twitter. Again, this is recent in July, which is when we're taping this, that they were looking for writers. So send him a note. And, you know, let them know and they'll get back to you. Paizo's constantly looking for new writers. So those opportunities are out there. Once you get the opportunity, that's the first step. You get the opportunity and then you have to do everything I was sort of talking about earlier. Make sure you get on deadline. follow the rules. If they ask you for an orc monster, don't decide, oh, I want to create a dragon instead. You know, be on time, be professional, and just do your best job there. And if you do a good job, they'll remember that and hire you again. That's pretty much the secret. And it's then finding, kind of developing those relationships. And I'm not on Twitter, but Twitter's a good place to get involved and see, but on Facebook as well. You know, Ron Lundeen posts on Facebook and has a great blog. You can find his blog too. I believe it's Run Amok Games.
Yep.
And really great advice there. I love reading his blog. I wrote to him one time and said, hey, Ron, can you explain this? And he explained it on the blog. And I was like, okay, perfect. And I, you know, used the knowledge I gained there in my freelancing. It was really helpful for me. And just general professional tips. I think you're always learning and hopefully always learning. Legendary Games posts. Owen Casey Stevens posts really interesting things. There's so many kind of, look for some of those names you might recognize, look for them on Facebook, on Twitter, and follow them. And, you know, kind of, you can use those for hopefully second and third. And then you start to develop a reputation and, you know, get used to working with people. As much as people are looking for new people, there's times you say, oh, I need something. I know someone can do it. Boom. That's how that works. Legendary Games, which I've been doing a lot for recently, I said, hey, can I help you on this one project? I did it. They were happy. And then I got two or three more kind of right in a row, other projects for him because they were pleased with what I did on the first one. So that's really the advice. Once you get your name in the door or your foot in the door, really, you know, execute what they said, what they asked for, and that leads to more work.
Excellent, excellent. So you mentioned you've taken a short break. What's next for you? What kind of cool things are you going to start working on?
Well, I'm very excited about a project that I've got coming up, but I don't think I'm allowed to talk about it yet, unfortunately.
Can you say what company it's for?
Yes, it is for Paizo. Okay. So I'm very excited about that. It's something I'm really looking forward to working on. I did a whole bunch recently for Legendary Games, a lot of second edition conversions, and I'm looking forward to kind of, hopefully I have to write to Jason Nelson, who's the head of that, and mm-hmm. see if he's got some more he needs me to convert, because I was really enjoying that. It was really helping me master second edition and make sure I know how I'm doing on that. And then I'll probably reach out again to some of the people I've worked with before and say, hey, you know, I'm free once the other project's done. Can I do anything for you? And hopefully they'll say, sure, we have some openings that we'd love you to work on. So I tend to prefer to work on just one project at a time. For me, that's my preference. Fortunately, this is something I do as fun and as a hobby. So I find if I've got more than one project, it becomes stressful and then not fun. Where I've been lucky is it's pretty rare that I find myself in a situation where I don't have a job. You know, oftentimes I've got enough contacts now that it works out that just as I finish one, I'll hear from someone else or shortly thereafter. I took a very conscious break here. My wife is a doctor and is in her residency and actually lives about an hour away. So she was home for a few weeks. So I said, you know what, let's take a break. I'm not going to work on my writing and I'm just going to spend the time with my wife. So that was kind of a very conscious break. And now that she's back to work and we see each other a little less frequently, it's all right, let's start writing again. And fortunately there have been some jobs already presenting themselves.
Well, I look forward to hearing about this thing for Paizo. Given your track record, what you've written for them and what you haven't written yet, I have a sense for what it could be. So I'll just leave it at that. People can go back and look at your resume and figure that out. Yes. Well, Jacob, thanks so much for being on the podcast today. It's been very enjoyable to get to know you and have a chance to chat with you.
It was my pleasure. I was really happy to do this. And thank you so much for talking to me. And again, just one more time, freelanceforge.boards.net. We really are excited when new people join. And it's really been a great community, very friendly, and great opportunity if you're looking to write. Or draw, we're mostly focused on writers, but if people have questions, there are artists there as well who can, will answer questions, and cartographers. So writing's our primary kind of focus, but certainly anyone who's interested in RPGs and freelancing is welcome to join.
All right. Great advice. Thanks.
Thank you.